know in that place that, you know, as we sit and we stand and we listen, I really encourage you, if you sense God is saying something, you're amongst friends, you're amongst family, speak it out, you know. If it's a song, start singing a song. Whatever it is that God stirs in your heart, just be at peace, know that you're in a safe place and that you can share those things that you sense God might be saying, because we get encouraged by that. So our series, we've been going now for 6 months, believe it or not. That's how long we've been around with you as a church, and it's been such an adventure and such a privilege, and I've really enjoyed the friendships and the relationships that are growing and developing out of that. And again, so thankful for your kindness and goodness to us. So we've been on the series of hearing from God, hearing, discerning, responding. There's a few other words that we could use to pursue that. So hear. Discerno, because we've gone a little bit of Italian this morning. Actually, we're going to swap this out. We're going to make that a little D, because we've moved from hear and discern to these two letters. So I'm just going to put those there. Hopefully everybody can see that. Now, I've narrowed it down to two letters, and there's a good reason behind that. Because there is somebody in this church, instead of listening to my message, they have been looking at these letters and making up acronyms. Making up their own words instead of really trying to... So Justin, I'm outing you. Here it is, bro. These are the two letters you've got to work with this morning. Okay, I'll face them towards you. It's good luck. You know, make whatever not an ode, do. This morning's message is do. Now, having said that we've moved from hearing, discerning to do, we don't actually leave behind hearing. We don't leave behind discerning. We keep hearing, we keep listening to all we sense God might be saying to us. Yeah? And we continue to discern. And again, you know, we've just had a couple of people welcomed formally into our fellowship today. For us, Baptists, togetherness is massive. It's a key part of what we believe as our as what it means to be Baptist, is journeying together, that we're not this individual. And discerning happens best together. Yeah? How was that message last week? I listened to it online from Frank. I really enjoyed it. The wise words of Frank. He suggested a few other different titles for that, and that's Frank. He's lovely, isn't he? And so I'm really thankful for the message that he brought, and so I want to build on that by looking at James 1:22. Not just hearers but doers of the word. Now James, in the book of James, it's actually, you could almost call it a wisdom book. It lays out what it is for us to be a people of God. It's got these really interesting titles throughout the scripture that kind of capture what he's trying to communicate there. It says, you know, it's really good practical things like favoritism forbidden. I could make a joke there, but I'll behave myself about my two children, but I won't. Taming the tongue. There you go. I've just applied it. Taming the tongue. Submit yourself to God. Don't boast. Warning against rich oppressors, having patience and suffering, pray at all times. These are just chapter titles of passages within that scripture. The one that I want us to capture this morning: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. I mean, for me, this is a key part of this book. A lot of it hinges, if not all of it, on this particular phrase. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Let's read it. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning, as we look at this word, that we would hear you. We must approach your word humbly, Lord, with a realization that you are God and we are but dust. Speak to us this morning through the word that you have revealed through your servant James. Okay. Verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. We have been listening now for some time. 6 months again, through this whole journey. I suspect you were listening before I came. I shouldn't just assume that you weren't. I know you were. And a big part of this journey of us seeking to discern what God might be saying to us as a church is building on what God is saying and has been saying. It's not about me coming here and saying, here I am, your senior pastor, this is what God wants us to do. No, we don't do that in isolation. That's not the Baptist way. The way that we've been called to operate is to listen together, to hear God together. And so, quick to listen. I think we have to listen to one another, what God might be saying. And obviously, again, in that whole process, it's not seeking to hear what you say, it's seeking to hear what God is saying through you. Quick to listen. And yet it sits also with the second part of this passage, humbly accept the word. If God has been speaking to you, and I believe that he's a living God, and so therefore as a living God, he's a God that speaks. What has he been saying? Are you prepared to humbly accept that? Now again, last week, Frank speaking around the place of wisdom and how we sit with that. The week before, the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, where we looked at how is it we seek to value those things that we hear, and how do we place them in being able to discern what is God actually saying? Is this just my own opinion? Is my opinion and my thinking and my intelligence worth more than the wise counsel of somebody else? Is the wise counsel able to speak over the word of God because actually times have changed? No. No, we humbly, we lay down those things. We don't lay them down and walk away from them. We still hold on to the fact that God has given us a brain and he wants us to use that. But we do so in light of he is God and he is using his word. And again, let's hold on to the diversity of how he speaks. It's not just scripture. We had a wonderful message around creation and how God is able to speak through creation. Fantastic. Our prophetic words. The diversity has been great. It's taken us 6 months and it's just been a smidgen of the way that God speaks to us. All that diversity. But let's do so humbly as we seek to listen to what God is saying. Let's go back to the Word of God and see what he says concerning the different things that we sense he might be saying to us. Humbly. Why? Why would we do this? Why would we think that it's important to listen to what God says? Which can save you? I mean, this is the crux of this. Do we actually believe that we can save ourselves with all our intelligence and our cleverness and our experience? Or do we humbly approach the Word of God? Do we humbly approach this journey of having God speak to us from a position that God knows best to save us? And not just us, but this world in which we live. Because as he's speaking to us, it's not just for us, it's for this world that he's called us to live in. What a privilege What a privilege it is to live a life with purpose. With purpose. What is it that God has been stirring for you when it comes to working out how he wants you to respond to his mission in this world? The reading goes on from here. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." James has put this really great analogy, picture of what it's like for us when we perhaps approach the Word of God. And in one sense, I wonder if he's hinting at something. Perhaps we're not looking at at the Word of God, we're looking at ourselves. We're more interested about ourselves than what the Word of God says. We look, we're not actually seeing it, we're seeing ourselves. We're so enamored with ourselves. And then we go away from the Word of God and forget the very thing that God was wanting to say to us. Forget. This is me. This is me. On so many occasions and in so many areas of my life, James is asking us to do something different. I like the word in the NIV. It pulls out this word intently. Again, let's not put it down to our effort, because again, when we come to the Word of God, let's recognize that for us even to understand the fullness of what the Scripture is saying requires the Holy Spirit to teach us. And that's his promise. He says he will. He says, "I will teach you." So as we look at it, let's dwell on the Word of God. Let's dwell on those words that have been spoken into our life. Let's dwell on the different things that people are writing on the wall over there. Let's not stop doing it. Let's persevere. Let's continue to seek to hear. Let's continue to discern what God is saying to us. It's not just a weekly thing to look at our Bible. God invites us to engage with it. Persevere. And then to act. To act. Over the next month or two, we have people who are strongly engaged in mission. Now, when we use this word mission, suddenly we think of a superhuman, extreme type person that is the real Christian or the crazy Christian. Missions for all of us. Rachel and I had a wonderful weekend away last weekend, and we stayed at an older Baptist pastor's batch. And we found a record player with a selection of old Christian records. And we listened to one. I should have played just the first little couple of bars of it, because Rachel was still in bed. We were on holiday. It was about 12:30 in the afternoon. No, it wasn't. It was in the morning, and I put it on. And there would have been not even 5 seconds. And she said, "That's Keith Green." So Keith Green was a gentleman, a few of you are nodding your heads going, "Yes, I remember Keith Green." Mad musician, but his life was far more than his music. His home was full of people in need. And he sings this wonderful song, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you. He says, "Jesus has commanded us to go. It should be the exception if we stay." I love it. What does it mean to go? Simple question. What does it mean to go? Take a moment. Talk to the person beside you. What does go mean to you? If I said that God has called you to go, talk to the person beside you. I want to hear from you what you believe go means. Have a conversation. So who's got a go, so to speak? Who's got a go that they want to share with me? Any responses? Do what God tells you to do. Good. That's my whole message. I'll sit down. Can you give me an example? What's a go looking like for you? Anybody? What's an area that you sense God's been inviting you to? Neighbours. Awesome. To go to your neighbours. Anybody else? To people, friends, spread the word. Acts of kindness. What does go look like for you? What sort of go is God calling you to? For me, a couple of weeks ago, at the end of my message, the do, the response, the go was not just to talk about the healing power of God, but to offer a space where we give God room to heal. Now, that's kind of scary, because I'm not in control of that. That's all on God. But actually, for you, going to your neighbor, to a large degree, you're not in control of that either. Do you see that? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that freeing? I'm excited by the fact that actually we join God on His mission. We get to go with Him. For me, as I sit and process what I believe God might be inviting us as a church to do, has been a conversation with the staff around Easter camp. So we've got, not Easter camp, sorry, church camp. So we've been playing with different ideas. What could this look like? Now, there's a camp that we've booked into to go down to down at Papamoa. The challenge, though, is that if we want this to be a church camp, how can we make that possible? Because in one sense, it's actually rich person's church camp. You've got to have money to go. So what does that mean for somebody who doesn't have money? Well, we could offer subsidies. But what? I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Not because I don't think that we should subsidize them, but what that says is it creates a them and an us. That's not church. That's not family. So how is it that we could go on church camp together? And so some of the ideas that I've knocked around is that we just say we're going. In fact, church is free. We're all going on church camp together. And this is not for the young or the old or the middle. It's for everybody. Not in isolation, but together we go on church camp. And so what I hope that we do is that we will invite everybody to come. Those that wish to go will register. And when we know how many people we've got, we'll know how much money we have to pay. We'll have a figure. And we'll raise the money until we have that money. We'll go together. Now, sure, some people might say, what happens if somebody doesn't put the money in that they should? Well, whose problem's that? Yeah, exactly. And so we'll raise that money together. And some people may say, well, actually, I need perhaps a better bed than that person. Well, if you would like to choose a better bed, fine, you can put in a bit more. And we'll work that out. That's not a problem. But actually, we will know the needs of each other, and we will seek to meet the needs of each other. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. And so family camp this coming year, I truly hope and pray that it will indeed be family. The way that I pictured it, the conversation around what it could look like to go was Rachel and I in the evening sitting in bed and saying, you know what, let's go away and have an awesome time together as a family where we want to sense what God might be calling us to in this coming year. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I can afford to go. How about you? Yeah, I think so. Zoe and Ben? Well, they're not working. They won't be able to come. We could subsidize them. That's nice. No, isn't that a stupid conversation? We're family. And so I'm looking forward to, what date have we set? 17th and 19th of March. So get out your devices now. Put it in your device. 17th to the 19th of March. We're going to go away and we're going to be family together. And we're going to explore ways that we can do that. I'm looking forward to it. So that's a do that I sense God is inviting us into. How can we be more and more a family, people of God, that really care for each other? Okay. That's our church camp thing, listening to Christ. I want to end with this. We are not doing to be loved. As we seek to move from hearing, discerning, yet still holding on to that, to doing, we don't do to be loved by God. No. We do because we are loved. Amen? As we do this next season, as we explore what and respond to what God is saying, let's do this not to be loved by God, but because we are loved. And what better way to express that than by having communion? To be reminded what Christ has done for us, which is just outstanding. Let me read from 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." And so, Lord Jesus, we do. We break this and remember what you have done for us. We thank you that you gave your life so that we may know you. You poured out your blood for us. Lord, it's only by what you have done on the cross that we can know you and be united as your people. Can I invite Linda and Joe and a few of your friends to come on up, and would you serve us as our newest members? Would you serve us, the body of Christ? as it comes and it arrives with you, I invite you, invite the person beside you perhaps to partake of it together. Give thanks together. If this is new, if you're visiting and you're wondering, oh, what's this about? What are they doing here? We're remembering what Christ has done for us. We're remembering that he has given his life for us. And we're given these images to help us with that. It's incredibly powerful. If you have not made a decision to follow Christ, then I encourage you, just let it pass you by. Because this is a family meal. However, if you want to be part of that family, then I invite you, take that cup, take that bread, and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you have done this for me.
I think the poet was saying, sorry. I think the poet was saying that primarily the universe is not made up of molecules or particles or chemistry equations or reactions. It's made up of stories. And my friend, God sees your story this morning. He sees our story this morning. He sees you're going out and you're coming in. He sees you when your cup is full and when your cup is empty. He sees you when the tide is in. Oh, those days, it's high summer. It's a spring tide, and the tide is, and there's laughter, and the water is lapping on your shores. And we just wish that that season would last forever. We wish that it was perpetual. But the tide turns, the waters recede, and they are to be seen no more. And we have that doubting, that irking doubt, don't we? Will it ever return again? He sees us in full health, and he sees us when we are laid low. He sees us in full employment, and he sees us when that note has slipped to us saying, sorry, but don't turn up on Monday. He sees us in our success, and he sees us in our failure. And all the time, his hand is extended to us as a saviour. He is a saviour in the good and in the bad. Oh, when the success comes our way, the giddy heights that we can go to, that unruly appetite that we can have to go, to take us beyond the point of our station in life, and he comes to be our saviour at that time. And he says to us, do not forget. Do not forget from whence you have come. Do not forget. For humility is maintained by memory. Do not forget who gives you life. And at the other end of the spectrum, there is that place that we all wish to avoid, the pit of human failure, and whether by default or whether it's self-induced, we find ourselves at that point too. And he says, I am there with you too. I am there with you in the fray of the battle. I am not that aloof army officer who stands well away from the line of fire. I'm there with you. I'm the grunt who crawls into the trench, waist deep in mud, with my hands and forehead bloodied, and I'm standing beside you. You need to know that. You need to know that, that I am with you in the trenches. Ka mea a ehu, haere mai ki ho. God beckons us and he says, come to me, those who are heavy laden, with your success, that I might cause you to walk aright. That weight, that heavy cup would not harm you. He is not against the wealth, but he's against the attitude that the wealth can produce. He says, come to me, you that are heavy laden. Come to me, those who are weak, who have an empty cup, that I might give you rest. I'm with you in the trenches. I close with the words, I think, of Micah. And he says, he has shown me, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of me? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk what? Humbly before thy God. Tēnā koe.
So let's end with those words. Let's know that we are here together, are ready to listen, quick to listen. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, there's the person sitting beside you, or there's people here at the front, always prepared to come and sit with you, to listen and to lift you to the Lord and whatever he has for you. Go this week, walk humbly, continue to listen, and do because you are loved. Bless your family. See you tonight, if you'd like, at the 7 o'clock fellowship.